Okay. I have a couple of people help with the communion, and we'll you know, the Bible says that God sent His Word and it healed them. So that's one way to get healing in your body, is by reading the Word of God. Another way to get healed is an absolute miracle of God. Another way to get healing is for somebody to lay hands on you, pray the prayer of faith, and you receive your healing. Another way to get healing is through the communion. This takes a lot of pressure off of people. See, you don't have to build up your faith to the point where you can receive a miracle. You can receive it gradually through the Holy Communion. See, a lot of times people will get sick and they'll go to the doctor, and the doctor will tell them, they'll give them an exact schedule of when to take the medicine and what medicine to take and how to take it. They'll follow that schedule to a T. Not often will they follow God's schedule. See, Jesus said to take this as often as you will. So you could take it once a month, you could take it once a week, you could take it daily, you could take it three times a day. If you get seriously attacked in your body, I would suggest taking this as often as you can. This is God's medicine. Paul told us the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So what God wants us to do is to look at this bread. Remember, Jesus said that He is the bread of life. This is His body. When we look at that, He wants us to see His sacrifice in His body. He literally visioned the body of Christ with all those whip marks on Him, all those bruises on Him, the beating He took, the crown of thorns, the blood dripping out of His body, hanging on that cross. He wants you to see the vicious sacrifice that He went through, because it was for us. So when we look at this bread, we identify certain parts of that sacrifice. This bread is made without yeast. Yeast in the Bible is significant of sin. Jesus' body is and was without sin. He never once made a mistake. Perfect sacrifice. This bread has been beaten flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. Already. Your healing has already been paid for. You just have to appropriate it. You look at this bread, it's been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And everywhere He shed blood, you get redemption in some area for your life. You know, He shed blood out of His scalp. He shed blood out of His feet. He shed blood out of His hands. He shed blood out of His back. And He certainly shed blood out of His side when that Roman soldier thrust a spear into His side. It would be a good Bible study for you to look up the different places that Jesus shed His blood and appropriate that redemption for you. So if you want to cheat, go find the Catholic Church and find the Stations of the Cross, because they've got them on the wall. And you can go there and pray those prayers, not the one to Mary, but the other one. Pray that prayer to appropriate that redemption in your life. Pretty cool trick, huh? His body was broken for us. And if you look, this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. God treated us the way Jesus deserved. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated, so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking this for our healing. We thank you for it. That shed blood of Jesus is so powerful, it did something that no man could ever think of. It found a way to wash away our sins and make us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Ever since Adam sinned in the garden, man had been trying to devise ways to get back in the presence of God. All these different religions that you see around the world are man's attempt at getting in the presence of God. And they failed miserably. Only God could get us in the presence of himself. And he did it with a special bridge from heaven to earth. It only took him 3 nails, 2 boards, and 1 lamb. That perfect bridge gave us the ability to walk into the presence of God as though nothing ever happened because of the blood of Jesus. Now, because of that blood of Jesus, you can go boldly into the presence of God and ask him for mercy and grace in times of need. You can receive that mercy and grace because his mercy and grace is made fresh every day. Amen. I don't take communion lightly, because if you just take it out of a religious habit and not spend time looking at the sacrifice and the blood, you miss out on what you're supposed to receive. Everything you do, you should be doing it again in faith. Amen? All right. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah, I brought her out of the technological era back into the book reading era. I want you to look at this explanation of unity in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. You need to understand that there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, some people are taking that scripture and turned it into a whole denomination, a whole doctrine. But that one baptism they're talking about, that's the one baptism that is needful to get to heaven. That's the one baptism that is necessary to get to heaven. That's called being born again. When you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ. That's the one body. That's the one church. The body of Christ is the church. This is the importance of the unity part. If people would understand the unity part, we wouldn't have 5,000 or 6,000 different denominations. We'd have one. It would be called the church. Amen? This building that will eventually rot away is not the church. This is the meeting place for the church, the body of Christ. Amen? And we're going to talk about this unity because it's an important thing. Unity among believers is absolutely unreplaceable. It's one of the most important things that the churches ever face. And it's one of the rarest things that you'll find. You know how hard it is to get 500 people in unity? I'll tell you a little bit about that. Jesus told 500 people to go to the upper room. 120 of them made it. Here's the thing. The spirit of division has wreaked havoc in the body of Christ. And it's so crazy now, it's to the point where all it takes to start another church is a resentment in a coffee pot. Literally, somebody will get mad about the color of the carpet. Quit. Somebody will get mad over one verse in the Bible that the church believes in. Quit. Because they're not understanding. They're not rightfully dividing the word of truth. They don't understand that if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. The devil understands that better than the church. That's why he spends so much time trying to cause strife, trying to keep people divided, trying to keep people arguing back and forth. Well, we sprinkle and you guys dip. We pour. Those guys do this. Who cares? The Greeks baptize their donuts. Get over it. We've taken a lot of religious words, a lot of very important words that didn't get translated in the Bible, and used them to cause a lot of different church fights. Amen? We are one church. It goes on here to say there's one God, one true living God. Think about that. There's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Here's something you're going to have to get through your head. Born again believers are given grace. We rely on grace daily. Without grace, we're toast. When we make a mistake, God has grace and mercy for us. Here's something you got to understand. If you're holding a grudge towards another believer, you're effectually saying that God's grace and mercy is not good enough for them. It's good enough for me, but not good enough for them. Now you've taken yourself out of the realm of grace, put yourself into the realm of works, which means you're relying on your own self-righteousness to cause yourself to be blessed before God. You see how that works? The blood of Jesus has to be as relevant for your neighbor as it is for you. Verse 8 says, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Remember, we said, when you get born again, you are the body of Christ. So in the eyes of God, you were with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection, also his ascension, and now you're seated at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power, might, and dominion. You're seated at a very high place. You've been given authority over all these things that may attack you at any given moment in time. You've been given authority in three worlds. You've been given authority in the heavens, on earth, and under the earth. That's how much God has done in you. That's who He is in you. He's there. Verse 11 says He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. That's the fivefold ministry. That's the fivefold ministry. God put that in place. Jesus put that in place. The fivefold ministry. It didn't go away. You talk to some folks and they say, okay, well, there's pastors and some evangelists. No, there's teachers too. And there's apostles and there's prophets. A lot of pastors will get all up in arms when you start talking about the full fivefold ministry because the pastors want all the money. And they even go so far as to call evangelists as para-ministries. You know what that means? Like a parasite. That's what it is. In their eye. Nothing can be farther from the truth. In the book of Acts, when you read the book of Acts, you'll see that the full fivefold ministry was in full operation. They had all things common. All of them. All things common. It all came to the same place. Nobody was shorted in any of it. And miracles happened at such a high rate they couldn't count them all. The body of Christ was being added to daily. People were getting born again all the time. Can you see why now it's so important to have unity? I've had the full fivefold ministry in this church at different times. We've had apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. They've all been in here because I want everybody to be exposed to the full fivefold ministry. If all you listen to is a pastor, that's only 20%. That's only 20% of the ministry that Jesus gave you. So you're 80% undone. 80% unfed. You should make it a point to listen to apostles. You should make it a point to listen to prophets. You should make it a point to listen to teachers and evangelists. They all have a very important part in teaching you about your ministry. You know, you can take the same scripture and give one each. You could get the fivefold ministry in the same place, give them each the same scripture. They'll preach it five different ways. Evangelists will spark a drive in you to get out into all the world and preach the gospel. Pastors will love on you and teach you and show you how to grow in Christ. Teachers will teach you the word. They'll break down the word. Now, I've noticed sometimes there's a rigid box people put themselves in. Well, I'm a this, or I'm a that. I can't do none of that. guess what? You're going to be whatever Jesus wants you to be when he needs you to be it. If he needs you to go start a church somewhere, he'll equip you to go do that. Now, not everybody is called into the fivefold ministry, but you still have a ministry. You've been called to witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to sow the word into people's hearts so that they can get born again. Amen? Now, verse 12 is the purpose of the gifts. All these fivefold is for the perfecting of the saints, literally the maturation of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Of Christ. A lot of times, churches have this idea that they're going to hire a pastor, and that pastor's job is to go out there and add to the church, be responsible for church growth, bring people in, cause it to grow, and do all this stuff. And they're going to sit on their pew and enjoy life while the pastor goes out and does all this stuff. Guess what? You've been misinformed, if that's your idea. Pastors don't beget sheep. Did you know that? Sheep beget sheep. Our job as believers, see, I don't cut myself out. Our job as believers is when we leave this place, we enter the mission field, and our job is to witness to people wherever they may be. Get them born again if we can, but witness to them, let them know about the saving grace of God. That's our job as believers. See, with that being said, that doesn't mean the pastor just gets to sit on his butt in his office and read his Bible and play card games on the computer. No. Paul told Timothy, who was a pastor, he said, to make sure you do the work of an evangelist. That means he had to get out there too and witness to people, get people born again. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said to pray in tongues, said cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Sometimes I think that's been reduced to let the pastor go tell people about Jesus. I'll hide in my closet and pray in tongues, and the devil ain't messing with him. You know you can cast out devils? You've been given authority to do that? And sometimes people need to have a quick little deliverance session, you know, so they can get born again. And you know, you don't have to go to a special deliverance room. You don't have to go to a church to do that. And it doesn't take 2 or 3 hours of shouting at the devil. You can literally get somebody set free in 2 or 3 minutes and get them born again. And you can do it in a parking lot of a gas station. And you don't have to be a pastor. Just a believer. You've been given that authority in the name of Jesus to do that. I'm amazed sometimes at the power of the name of Jesus and what he can actually do through a believer into another human's life. I'm going to tell a little story on my wife. We lived up in Wyoming, in this town we lived close to, there was one whole subdivision in this town that every year, the same day, everybody on that whole subdivision had a yard sale. It was a nightmare. I don't like one yard sale. It was like walking to the promised land for her. All over all these yard sales. I'd pray for a place to sit down. I was like, maybe these guys got a chair. Well, here's the thing. Several years earlier than that, I had ran into this little guy. He was a drug addict. And everybody around had tried to help this little guy. And he showed up riding his bike, and I said, well, how are you? And he said, I'm not good. And I said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah. In the name of Jesus, I cast out a demon out of that little guy. And he got born again right there on the spot. And then I didn't see him for a couple weeks, and I thought, oh, brother, I don't know. And then he showed up, and he said, I found a Pentecostal church. He said, I can go there 5 times a week. I said, rock on. Just hang on to it. Somebody got mad at me. He said, why didn't you tell him to go to the cowboy church? I said, well, that ain't where the Holy Spirit wanted him to go, evidently. So he was in there 5 times a week. Spring forward, my wife and I are walking down the street, going to this promised land of yard sales. And somebody in a brand new shiny blue Mustang come pulling up right behind us. And I didn't think nothing of it. I don't know anybody drives anything like that, you know. So we're walking to the yard sale, and I heard somebody holler my name, and I turn around, and it's little David. I said, oh my God, did you steal a car? He come running up to me, and he said, ever since that day you prayed for me, I haven't had another drink, and I haven't had another drug, and I just paid cash for this car. Praise God. That's the power of the name of Jesus through a spirit-filled believer. If you'll just be bold enough to step out and use the name of Jesus to set somebody free, you can see him do some amazing things. Jesus said that you can do all things. Matter of fact, just go to... You know, I'm preaching today. I'm not teaching. I don't have any notes. I'm just kind of going wherever we go. So we're going to John chapter 14, verse 12. I want you to look at these verses and be serious about it. Verse 12 says, verily, verily, this is red letters, by the way. So, I mean, Jesus is speaking. We can all agree that Jesus cannot lie, can't we? Okay, we're in unity on that. John chapter 14, verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that'll be believers, that'll be born again people, that'll be born again people, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What happened when Jesus went back to his Father? He sent Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened. So now a believer that gets the baptism of the Holy Spirit can do just exactly what these verses say. Verse 13 says, whosoever shall ask, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Here's the recipe. You, as a believer, lay hands on the sick. Tell that sickness to go away in the name of Jesus. Jesus does the doing, evicts the sickness, and God gets the glory. Amen? That's how it works. We don't have to do anything but pray. Jesus does all the doing. Amen? Now maybe sometimes people understand when they try to compliment me on anything, I just say, praise God. They try to thank me for anything, I say, praise God. Can I promise you, I'm not smart enough to come up with a sermon like this. Only the Holy Spirit could come up with that. I've never had an original thought in my life. It comes from Him and His Word. I really prefer having some notes. It's a whole lot easier. But then relying on the Holy Spirit to tell me where to go during a sermon is a lot more exciting. A lot more interesting. But that's the difference between teaching and preaching. Jesus said this. Jesus gave you the power of attorney to use His name. So when you go out there, you tell somebody about Jesus. When you go out there, you minister to somebody about Jesus. You find somebody that's sick, you don't have to wait for your pastor to get home. You lay hands on them. You believe for them. You run into somebody that's a mess that needs deliverance, you cast the devil out of them. It's okay if you want to bring them here, we can take care of that. But you have been given authority to do that out there. You've also been given authority to baptize people in water. Ooh, now I'm really meddling with a lot of people's religion. You can't let a layman water baptize somebody. Why not? Jesus ordained them to. Also, you can help them receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can minister to them and teach them about that, help them to receive that from Jesus. Jesus is a baptizer of the Holy Spirit anyway. I ain't. I just minister to people about it, teach them about it, and then they can receive it if they will. You can literally cast the devil out of a guy, get him born again, get him water baptized, get him filled with the Holy Spirit, and bring him to church. Come up to your pastor and say, here's a turnkey Christian. All you got to do is feed him. You can do that. You've been qualified to do that. You've been called to do that. You don't have to ask my permission. You know, you can have a meeting out there. This was the thing. There's a religious mafia running around. And people got this idea that they got to go ask a group of pastors what they think about something. I told one guy one time, I said, it's none of my business. The other pastors, they kind of, their heads went to spinning. You guys looked at me kind of funny, and I said, if God told you to have a meeting somewhere, then you go have that meeting somewhere. You don't come ask me for permission to do anything. Everybody just kind of looked at me kind of crazy. Well, the guy went and had a meeting. And then somebody said, well, they called the pastor in from another town. what are you going to do about that? And I said, absolutely nothing. It ain't none of my business. But it's in your town. Praise God, there's somebody out there preaching the word on the streets. See, God has trusted you with the powerful ministry. He's made you ambassadors for Christ. And He's told you to go out there and do these things to cause reconciliation between God and man. That's what Jesus was doing down here. He was causing us to have reconciliation between God and us. Now there's no more war between heaven and earth. Our job is to go out there and tell people, say, look, God's not mad at you. He may not like what you're doing, but He's not mad at you. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And if you'll just believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. You don't have to go to hell. You know how refreshing it is when somebody comes up to somebody that's not born again and tells them they don't have to go to hell? That's a huge relief. You know how many times people hear they're going to hell? A lot more than not. We need to be a refreshing to this earth. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You've been poured over with mercy and grace. We need to go out there and cause this mercy and grace to collide with somebody that needs it. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us, guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we thank you that your word causes faith to happen in our hearts because it's the words of Christ that lights a fire in our spirits, that causes us to want to go out there and do the things that you asked us to do. Father, we know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So every time we go out there, we know we're not alone. We can boldly go proclaim the name of Jesus and watch Him do miracles that only you could do. And then you get the glory and we get to be a part of it. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, we got snacks and coffee and fellowship back here. Come on back and have some.